Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley. Well, the latest of the long list of no shit. You got the right, quote, symptom to go in the right direction by making the body work incorrectly by giving toxic substances to the body. And it turns out there are other major effects on major systems. Huh. In this case, it is these damn GLP-1s that I told you, it's crazy. It literally makes the stomach not work. And you can hear the language of the commercials. And it may cause stomach paralysis. Hello? And the whole idea is that it causes stomach slowdown. That's what stops your diabetes because your food is not processing right. But whatever stops, it's not like someone figured out how to go, well, you know, we found the medium setting on speed for the stomach. We just thought we put it on medium so it doesn't cook so quick and therefore the sugar doesn't get processed so quick. So we just found the medium setting. There is no medium setting. The body is constantly adjusting and it's a continuous setting. It's a continuum. The setting is always on a continuum. So if you find the thing that makes a stomach work at one quarter, then it's because you're fucking up the stomach. And if you're fucking up the stomach, what would we would normally say, but we don't anymore with these pharmaceuticals, a logical head would say, if you're disrupting the operation of a major system or major bodily function, that's the definition of toxic. You are giving a toxic substance. But instead, let's find this article here. Instead, we say, GLP-1s are great for you. You can lose weight, but if you stop, you'll gain weight. Oh, yeah, but there's no side effects we've studied. And so these are probably, you know, millions of people have used them by now. And yet, here we go. GLP-1 drugs linked to age-related macular degeneration, study finds. GLP-1s are associated with a higher risk of wet age-related macular degeneration in people with type 2 diabetes, according to a new study. Now, I want you to use your Tyson brain here. GLP, and listen for the bullshit, bluff, misleading. It's not necessarily meant to be misleading, but just the distinction here. I'm going to repeat that. GLP-1 drugs are associated with a higher risk of wet, age-related macular degeneration in people with type 2 diabetes, according to a new study. Now, what did I say when I first responded to this and forwarded to somebody? It's not age-related. It's dose-related. So why would they even need to call that? It's because what they're doing is anything that causes your eye sockets to go bad, your eyeballs to go bad, we now have thrown the adjective phrase on the front and age-related. Well, they must not be dose-related because it's just a matter of getting older. Huh. Or all these eyeball problems where nobody ever used to take eyeball injections, which could be the stupidest idea ever. Many of them are related to chemical toxicities based on, quote, drugs and pharmaceuticals and medications. But we say age-related because the longer you take them, the older you are, and you tend to take them because of some other condition that is chronic that you're probably not taking them at 9. But if you give GLP-1s to kids, which will be the marketing arm in no less than freaking 5 years if we don't stop them, it will be GLP-1s because your kid is a fatty, and if you're not careful, they're going to get type 2 diabetes. So why wouldn't the logic argue that, well, the less likely you have major, you know, sugar reactions, the less likely you're going to get type 2 diabetes. So why not use it as a preventative? If you give that to 10-year-olds who are little fatties because there's no control by their parents, then guess what? They're going to get macular degeneration. Oh, no, but you didn't say it right. It's age-related. Uh-huh. Well, we start giving these drugs of this and others, because I guarantee you there are others that are contributing. We never worried about injections in the eyeballs. Okay. 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago. And now we're like, it's all normal. We just get broken up real quick. We just fucking break a lot. We need to give more shit. It's, oh no, it's always been this way. No, it hasn't. If we give those to little fat 12-year-olds, guess what? Their vision's going to go down. You are fucking with the vision. When I said it will screw up another main system or function, I think most people value vision quite a bit. But don't worry, it's age-related until you get to the next bullet of the story. Researchers found that the risk substantially increased the longer people were prescribed. Yeah, so that's a good highlighted bullet because that's what associated with means. So that's what I said. It's dose-related, particularly those containing semaglutide. Researchers found that the risk substantially increased the longer people were prescribed a GLP drug, particularly those containing semaglutide. Yeah, it's funny how the damage that's done by a toxin is worse the longer you ingest or get given the toxin. GLP-1 medications like Ozempic and Wegovy have surged in popularity as our freaking FDA acts like side effects are not effects. Have surged in popularity as weight loss treatments, but ophthalmologists say their potential risks to eye health are not well understood. I think they are well understood. It's fucking damaging to the eyes, you dumb fuckers. Well, until I describe it exactly and can explain all of it. You know, what it is, it's like someone needs to say, if I get pissy with somebody who's 6'5". And then I regularly do this because I got little man syndrome. Or you think you can punch? I can take a punch. Besides that, your mama's fat. And this 6'5" guy punches the shit out of me. And then I regularly get punched by 6'5" guys. And I get knocked the hell out. It's like, well, say the potential risk to Tyson's little 5'8" body is not well understood. It doesn't fucking matter. We know that what's happening right now is he's getting punched the fuck out by 6'5" guys. Well, they don't understand exactly how they generate all that power. What does it matter? You know that this behavior, the analogy for the effects of this drug, is causing major damage to Tyson and his little 5'8" body. All right? So, what do you mean, not well understood? You know it's damaging the eyes, therefore it's toxic. And the best of backfalling goes, well, I mean, oh, it's not well understood, the risk, but so it could be a risk. You already told me it's a risk. Significantly higher risk, which is what studies do, right? Of developing neovascular or wet age-related macular degeneration, according to new research. What's happening here? I'm going to guess neovascular means something like it has to create new vascularity because its old vascularity is so fucked up. And by the way, if we have had a, I'm going to suggest here, because I don't, this is the first time I'm even thinking about it, but I'm going to suggest here that places need new vascularity if the circulation sucks. And so the body might respond with new vascularity. What has damaged the circulatory system across the entire population? I don't mean the United States. I mean the entire globe. The clot shot. By definition, it has damaged circulation. So I'd be interested to see how much age-related of macular degeneration has gone up since December 2020-ish when the vaccine started to be available. So it's called neovascular or wet age-related macular degeneration. University of Toronto did it, type 2 diabetes. And see, then they can go to, well, people with type 2 diabetes. No, that's because those are the people taking the drug that's toxic. If anybody took the drug that's toxic, that makes your stomach not the fuck work, then they also would have this problem. But you know it will couch. Someone will be like, well, I don't have type 2 diabetes. And then later the marketing arm, when someone goes, you think I should take this? I don't even have type 2 diabetes. Yeah, so we're telling you to do it for a, as a preventative. Yeah, but what about that macular age generation thing? Oh, that's not well understood, sir. And that's for people who already had type 2 diabetes. And so don't worry, you don't have it yet.
Well, wouldn't it just be a toxin of the thing? What would type 2 diabetes have to do with it?
Well, listen, sir. Those studies were about people with type 2 diabetes. We don't totally understand it yet. Okay, yeah. We're more than twice as likely to develop wet AMD as those who weren't. And remember, science will say,
you only got a 1.9% chance and you did have a 0.95% chance. So, 98% of those in the population study didn't have it. So I wouldn't worry about it too much.
So, nobody wants to be blind and nobody wants to be twice as likely to be blind. So wet AMD is, or age-related macular degeneration. Again, it's known as age-related because that's where most of it you see is probably because the other medications are chronic, are medications, quote, medications / toxins for chronic conditions. So older folks are more likely to do it. Okay, so June 5th, should be aware of the potential risk. The findings published June 5th suggest doctors and parents should be aware of the potential risk, even though the chance of developing the condition remains relatively low.
It's twice as much.
Despite these benefits of the regular GLP-1, ophthalmologists say eye health effects are not well understood. Studies have identified an association between the medications and other eye conditions.
Okay, so wait, the thing that is so bad that it stops your fucking stomach from working not only can result in wet macular degeneration or whatever that was called exactly, age-related macular degeneration or wet or whatever it was called, and other eye conditions too, but see how they limited the findings to just the age-related if you're taking diabetes, yet right here in the study, it says, or rather in this article, studies have identified an association between the medications and other eye conditions, including diabetic retinopathy. Why diabetic retinopathy? Because it's only diabetic and retinopathy. Because diabetics are the ones taking the damn thing, and therefore they get retinopathy, so they call it diabetic retinopathy instead of diabetes drug-associated retinopathy. And anterior ischemic optic neuropathy. So now we've got damaging of neurons, damaging of nerves, basically, the optic nerve. It's damaging the nerve of the eye. Hello? Hello? But take it because you might lose some weight until you don't and your stomach is not working in the meantime, so you're not even getting nutrients. You're not getting the proper amount of nutrients. Well, the findings don't establish a clear causal link. Well, none of them ever do. Significance is the best we have. So that's a lie. The best we ever have scientifically is that it is statistically significant. Okay, so that's a straight non-science lie. If you have a study that says this is statistically significant versus control group, it's twice as likely. That's as close as you ever get. Nothing is ever, quote, proven as a cause, except that that word stands in for when you find out there's a statistical significance between the regular trial group and the placebo group. The dose... So I'll finish that bullshit sentence. While the findings don't establish a clear causal link between GLP-1 drugs and eye disease, experts say there's still reason for caution. You think so, since it was just found by the study that is twice as likely? Oh, we found that it's twice as likely, but we didn't find a causal link. Okay, well, we know that sometimes it's a correlation, but what's the correlation? In one, they injected themselves on a regular basis with a fucking toxic drug that stopped the stomach from working. What's the correlation? Turns out they're allergic to maybe the needle types? Maybe it's the needles. Could be the needles. Could be, let's see, what else could it be except the thing that we injected the body with? Huh. What could it be except for the thing that we injected the body with that we know shuts the fucking stomach down that could cause these various toxic effects, ruining the system for vision? What else could it be? Since it's not caused by that, it must be that reading the word of the drug is hard on them. And it's too fine print. So many of these people are probably reading the drug on the fine print, and that's fucking their eyes up. That's it. That's what's going on. So therefore, it's not causes. It's just correlation. If we only made Wegovy in larger print and all the instructions in larger print, believe me, this would go away. It has nothing to do with the substance itself, the chemical substance itself, Wegovy that fucks up the stomach. The dose-response effect we observed, where longer GLP-1 receptor agonist exposure was associated with higher risk, strengthens the argument that the association may reflect a true biological effect rather than being due to confounding factors. Holy Jesus fucking Christ. Seeing a graded relationship like this suggests that prolonged exposure could play a causal... This, if we're going to make America healthy again... Then this, you have to have long-term studies to begin with. Not after millions of people have used it. And then you're like, oh, I mean, I don't want to get on the wrong side of Big Pharma. And at least two different big pharmaceutical companies, because probably of those GLP-1s, you know, I hate the trivia of them because I hate all of them. But at least... of those, there's probably at least two large pharmaceutical companies involved. Wake up, because here I come. Hush up, because here I am. Little stupid, nice theme songs for these. And in fact, fuck up your stomach and your eyes. Holy shit. However, the study needs to be confirmed in future studies. Seeing a graded relationship like this suggests that prolonged exposure could play a causal role in increasing risk. However, this needs to be confirmed in future studies. Long-term GLP-1 drug use may triple wet AMD risk. So I wonder why they said double earlier. Is that just because their conclusion was, we'll just knock it down so we don't piss off Big Pharma enough? Nearly 140,000 adults. 140,000. 3-year period. Data collected between 2020 and 2023. That's as big of a population study as you could expect. One third of the participants had been prescribed a GLP-1 drug for at least 6 months. So 3-year period. Minimum in there is at least 6 months. About 46,000 people. Usually what's in Ozempic and Wegovy is what was involved in most of the cases, that being semaglutide. Average participant was 66. How do you get to a smaller conclusion? And there's nothing wrong with what they did. It's fine. They, you know, probably to put barriers on their study for definition, they went We'll go older, folks. Why? There are 45-year-olds all over the fucking place taking these ridiculous fucking drugs. There are certainly 55-year-olds. Your average participant age was 66. That basically defines you as concluding more narrowly as age-related. Jesus fucking Christ. On average, those who were described a GLP-1 drug were more than twice as likely to be diagnosed. However, that number doesn't tell the full story. People who took GLP drugs for longer experienced progressively greater risk. Those who only took their medication for 6 to 18 months actually had a slightly lower risk than those who didn't take the medication. However, at the 18 to 30 month mark, GLP-1 user... Now, that's weird because of everything I said. I'll call my own bluff. Those who had only taken the medication for 6 to 18 months actually had a slightly lower risk than those who didn't take the medication. So in essence, it took 6 to 18 months. So it adjusted, because somehow the factor of, lower blood sugar maybe started to contribute to less than that, even though it was still potentially damaging the eyes. However, the 18 to 30 month independently damaging the eyes. However, the 18 to 30 month mark, GLP-1 users' risk of comparing wet MD more than doubled compared to non-users. And those taking the drugs for 30 months or longer, so just 2.5 years, had more than triple the risk.
This is definitely surprising, especially given the growing enthusiasm.
Have you not noticed that the way it works is to stop the stomach from working? Which means it's damaging, you vast fucking idiot.
That's so surprising, given the enthusiasm.
Hey, we got a lot of enthusiasm for M&Ms, too. Doesn't mean it's good for your health, jackass.
This is definitely surprising, especially given the growing enthusiasm for GLP. I've got to say this. I was surprised by the fact that pharmaceutical drugs have incredibly damaging effects. I've always got to throw in this as the obligatory preface. This is definitely surprising, especially given the growing enthusiasm for GLP-1 receptor agonists for their cardiovascular and metabolic benefits.
It really highlights a need for further investigation into their ocular safety profile.
Despite the increased risk, the absolute risk of developing, that's what I'm talking about, is still low. 0.2 among those taking a GLP-1 and 0.1 among those who didn't. But the point is, wet macular degeneration is fucking up your eyes, increasing your... And never mind the other three or four things. Optic neuropathy. You'd have to listen again. That was my guess, that it seemed like it was around the optic nerve. It may have been really specific.
Well, not definitive. The study raises further questions.
Prior studies have identified links between GLP-1s, other types of eye disease, and in people with type 2 diabetes. That's because it's the people who've taken the drug. So remember that. In a major phase 3 semaglutide trial in 2016, researchers identified that type 2 diabetes patients taking semaglutide had a higher risk of complications of diabetic retinopathy. So that's about the retina, all right? I don't know what the opathy means specifically, but it is your retina is getting damaged.
Oh, no, it's just not doing as good.
It's getting damaged. Compared to a placebo, New England Journal of Medicine. And so this is what's happening here. A retrospective 2024 study evaluated nearly 700 studies and which seemed to provide conflicting evidence. And that those nearly 700 with type 2 were taking GLP-1 drugs and found no association between GLP-1s. And worsening retinopathy. Very quickly, stupid author, how long was the term of study? And how long had the people taken it? Because if the conflicting study was sponsored by Big Pharma and looked for people who were taking it less, then you're just twisting the study so that you don't come up with dose-related damage. Because doses take a longer time. I'm not going to look at that right now, but maybe I'll follow up on that. Also in 2024, researchers found that patients with type 2 Diabetes who were prescribed semaglutide were at a greater risk of nianon compared to those who weren't. That's a condition, I don't know if I'm saying it right, N-I-A-O-N, nion, I should have said nianon, that was definitely wrong, is a condition that causes sudden blindness, typically just in one eye, due to a lack of blood flow to the optic nerve. I can't even. And what did we just talk about? There was one of the diseases where I said, listen to the name, it's neovascular condition, which means, shit, this area is not getting enough circulation. Therefore, the body says, we better give it more vascularity. And then more vascularity might be more than really should normally be in an eye, which could fuck up with the regular function of the eye because there's only so much space, right? So in 2024, don't worry. The thing about the eyes and retinopathy, don't worry. This was non-conclusive. But in the same year, we found another study found that sudden blindness could occur, or at least greater risk of this condition, which we give a nice abbreviation so people don't realize it's about sudden blindness. Nion. A five-letter abbreviation for a condition that means you can get suddenly blind. You're blind. Typically just on one eye, though, because usually the damage to both eyes at a time wouldn't be exactly equal, you dumb motherfuckers. Due to a lack of blood flow to the optic nerve, which is what I was telling you about, it was... Well, it might be a different thing.
And the mechanism is not well established. Lowering blood sugar may mean rapidly a lack of oxygen in the retina.
Okay. Okay. You say so. I will have my pet theories, and that it's just generally toxic to both systems. And that's all you need to know. But if you want to say blood sugar lowering decreases oxygen to the retina. Okay, well, then it's just the same thing of the stomach not working right. When you make the retina more hypoxic, and again, that,
well, maybe that's why.
More hypoxic, meaning less oxygen, which is what the GLP-1s do. It basically pushes it further over the threshold, causing more abnormal blood vessels to grow. But it's just a theory that the lowering blood sugar rapidly leads to a lack of oxygen in the retina. And that doesn't make a lot of sense because you're going to get cancers and everything else, which you probably do, don't get me wrong. But general oxygenation, I mean, I have to look at the basic, you know, various functions, sugar lead versus not, because the idea is that your body's starting to do the other thing instead. But if your stomach is working slowly, it could be just a low function of the body. It could be a low metabolism, lowering your general metabolism and functioning side effect. It's possible, but regardless, what we say when these things like happen is that they're toxic. And that's just somebody's guess. I'm an ophthalmologist at the Keck Medicine of USC. I wasn't involved in research, but, you know, maybe lowering blood sugar, if you're talking about that theory and the lack of oxygen to the retina, when you make the retina more hypoxic, which is what the GLP-1s do, it basically pushes it further over the threshold, causing more abnormal blood vessels to grow, which backs up what I just told you. Like, if you don't have circulation, the body's going to grow more, so you get better circulation. Abnormal blood vessel growth in the eye is a hallmark of wet AMD. What did I just tell you as far as clot shot? Circulation. I told you, hey, clot shot, circulation, more, increased needs for arteries. Well, GLP-1s offer many health benefits. What about the part where it shuts your stomach down? You know, that's like saying, you know, part of it is like saying this. Those who end up with, what's that called? Lion? That wasn't it. Nyon. And get sudden blindness, it turns out that they're much less likely to die in traffic accidents. Do you just mean because they drive less? Because they don't have vision in one eye? I mean, you know, the reasoning is uncertain. We just see that they're much less likely to die in traffic accidents. Yeah, the health benefits, you know. That's about the analogy of the, you know, diabetes medications that stop your stomach from working. Oh, yeah. I mean, you'll have lower blood sugar and you might lose weight. You mean just because you stop the fucking stomach from working? Just like if you stop the eyes from working, you're probably going to have less traffic accidents because you're probably less likely to be in a car and certainly less likely to drive. Crazy. All right, guys, that went longer, but I think it was important to kind of, you know, cover some basic patterns of this ridiculousness. The whole pharmaceutical industry, and until we make America, we really call the bluff and make America more healthy again and get rid of these standards that, you know, in countless podcasts we've talked about, not me talking about it, me talking about studies and me talking about people who are in the business talking about it. How studies are manipulated, meant to be too short to catch chronic stuff, and that even worse, go listen to the one that, it didn't come from McCullough, but it came from a researcher that was big enough and prominent enough to be on the Joe Rogan show, where they blindly to us, they take out certain people in the study because of the effects they have, that have had on them to decrease the number of people. I mean, they say they're no longer participating. So without that, and since they do, it brings down the number to below significant. Like, still increase, but not enough to make it statistically significant. Like, it's not quite proven statistically, because after all, our rule is statistical significance. And if the number of people affected is too small versus the entire group, if it's not a big group and so on, you take out one out of 10 people to have an effect if the group is small. Or you take out 50 out of 300 to 400 that have the effect if the group is larger. And you just act like those people never existed in the group. Then you suddenly have a not statistically significant finding, and therefore you don't have to prove that it's significant, and or the benefit of the doubt is built in. It's just statistics. You just didn't find enough of them, therefore we dismiss it. I mean, we might say it was close to statistically significant and waste the entire fucking study with just the conclusion of, well, another further study may be in order. As close as it was, maybe a larger study with more controls on it. Or more targeted study, but we didn't find anything statistically significant here. It's because behind the scenes, in some cases, they're lying, and they're not telling you they started with 3,000, and when they ended with 2,750, some of that wasn't organic. It's not that the people didn't stay on the study regimen or whatever. It's that some of them were found early to either be definite or possible specimens that got the side effect that they don't want to report as statistically significant, and they took them out of the study. So, I mean, the episode's probably 2.5-3 years old on that, but it's there. Go find it. It was something about dirty tricks that Big Pharma does. Okay, guys, thanks for listening to The Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley.